This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello and welcome to The Real Sex Education. I'm Diggory Waite and I'm joined as ever by accredited sex and relationship therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Mum, welcome back to the show. Mm-hmm. It's a very special day because this is our most requested episode to date.
Wow.
Because we did an episode on early ejaculation and we put up an Instagram reel that did really quite well and a lot of people watched it and it led to a lot of comments and messages, but a lot of them were people going, oh no, you know, I come really quickly. And a lot of them were people going, I never come. Mm. And, you know, saying I go for ages. And a lot of them were saying that in a sort of braggadocio way. But some of them, like this person on our Instagram, said, I just saw a reel about the average ejaculation time on sex, and I'm worried that mine is a lot longer. I can do straight 45 minutes to an hour or even more, so I'm too tired for a second round. Mm. We also had, hey, it takes me a long time to ejaculate. I usually do it by masturbation. Interesting. Like, I don't feel much during sex, although my penis erect well, and I am in a casual relation with a girl. ... She is not so much beautiful. I don't like that one. Mm. This person says, why does my boyfriend like last 40 minutes in bed? ? Does it mean he's not attracted to me? Mm. I think he watched porn a lot before he met me. Last one. One straight male friend of mine is not able to have an orgasm during sex, but he has no problem at all to get one during masturbation. He says it's not because he isn't stimulated enough. Why is that? And what is your advice for him? We'll get to all of that as we go along with the episode. I mean, I think that last one, it's interesting. They know a lot about their straight male friend there. A lot of intimate details. I wonder if it's just you. But anyway, let's get into all of that. So, mum, I need to ask you before we start, just in case people aren't aware, what is delayed ejaculation?
It's basically when somebody with a penis has difficulty in ejaculating or takes a long time to ejaculate. So usually people wouldn't be thrusting for much more than 5 minutes. I mean, beyond 10 minutes is starting to be a bit much. People who say they can go on for hours, what they generally do is they edge. So they have a little bit of intercourse, then do something else, a little bit of intercourse, then do something else. So they're not thrusting continuously. So, but people with delayed ejaculation do thrust for a long time, and it can cause bruising for them and their partner. And a lot of people end up just giving up or else pretending to climax. So one or other partner fakes it.
Interesting.
To bring an end to it.
Yeah, so let's say it was a male and a female. The female might be like, oh, I'm just going to pretend I've come because it's taking ages. Mm. But I think some people will be surprised to hear that a man or penis owners can fake an orgasm. Mm-hmm. How do they fake an orgasm?
How?
Yeah. Surely you don't always have to ejaculate. We've talked about that in this podcast before, that ejaculation and orgasm is different and they don't necessarily always have to happen at the same time. But a lot of the time they do. So how and why are you faking an orgasm if you're a man?
Well, because you don't think you're going to come, basically.
Yeah.
So you pretend because you don't want to upset your partner or whatever. Mm. So, I mean, it might be quite difficult to tell unless you're inspecting a condom or something like that for ejaculate. You know, it isn't always possible to tell the difference between sperm and just, you know, a lot of vaginal secretions. Really.
Exactly.
Or pre-cum even, you know, you might have. So you're not necessarily going to be able to tell that easily.
Interesting. I just think some people recoil and think, what do you mean men can fake orgasms as well? This is terrifying and a whole new reason to freak out. because I think some people fly under the radar and they're just thinking, that's something I don't need to worry about. But actually, that would freak them out knowing that guys would and can.
Well, 20 to 30% say they've done it. So...
Interesting. So I've got written here as well that the DSM recognises delayed ejaculation as the inability or difficulty orgasming at least 3/4 of the time.
Yeah.
What is the DSM?
The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. It's the American kind of Bible. So in America, you need a code for every illness so that insurance companies know what they're going to pay out. So right. that's why people refer to the DSM. And in this country, for sexual difficulties, we quite often refer to the DSM.
Right.
But that's quite controversial because some people say you shouldn't really be using something as manualized as that. But what it means by 3/4 of the time is if it's going to justify treatment, then if the insurance company is going to pay for it, it's got to happen 3/4 of the time. It can't just be an occasional thing. If it's just now and again, it doesn't need treatment.
So 3/4 of the time, is that with in partnered sex or is that when masturbating alone?
Well, yes, that's the interesting thing. It normally happens with partnered sex. It's much more unusual for it to happen during masturbation. And sometimes there are physical reasons why. So there might be a neurological problem or diabetes or something like that. There might be or guilt about sex or what you're fantasizing about. There are all sorts of reasons why just stress can cause it. But it is less common in masturbation than it is with a partner because it's often something about the relationship that's doing this. I mean, everybody goes on a lot about how aroused women are, but sometimes men aren't sufficiently aroused. Often not because the partner's unattractive or anything like that, but because there are problems with the relationship or they are very stressed or they've got work to do or there's something going on for them. So it's often some sort of distraction rather than a problem with attraction. But there's been some people just don't have sufficient stimulation. They steam in trying to become aroused when actually they're not. Also, there are a lot of people who've been using porn a lot and then get into a relationship who have heard stories that, using a lot of porn stops you from being able to have partnered sex. And I mean, I think that can happen sometimes, but it's much more likely that people are anxious about being in a relationship again. And so they worry that something will go wrong and consequently something goes wrong.
And that shows itself as delayed ejaculation. So the effect this can have on a couple is, like you say, the partner not thinking that they're pleasuring their penis-owning partner enough to make them come. Obviously, if it's a straight couple, an inability to have children, because I guess if you can't ejaculate...
Well, that's often when it goes wrong. It's when a couple start trying to make a baby, it's really quite common for the anxiety about something going wrong to take over. And then they do find that they've got a problem coming because they're so worried about it being perfect.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I've also got written here is blue balls as the effect that it can happen because obviously that you haven't ejaculated.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's probably safer to just stop and take a rest and try again later or, go just finish off masturbate or something if you need to, rather than to think I've got to keep doing this. It's no fun for anybody. And as I say, it can cause bruising and all sorts of issues.
So we've sort of mentioned this already a little bit, but the causes, you say some of them are relational. I mean, there's a book I've read called Sex Therapy, The Basics, by someone called Kate Campbell. And they say that the two most popular reasons, or the most common reasons, I suppose, are psychological and medical.
That tells you everything.
That tells you everything you need to know. And that is the episode. This wonderful Kate Campbell goes into more detail and like some of the psychological reasons that you've kind of mentioned already. So guilt/harmful preconceptions around sex, performance anxiety, fear of pregnancy, relationship difficulties, a lack of desire, but meaning, you could be tired. It could just be not the right time, that sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
But, pain, having pain during sex or porn overuse and masturbatory technique.
I mean, porn overuse can stop you from being able to get an erection or orgasm. I mean, it's not necessary. Porn, whatever is the reason for you climaxing recently. If you climaxed recently, you're less likely to be aroused. You're less likely to be able to come quickly. An idiosyncratic masturbatory technique is the main reason, actually, for delayed ejaculation.
What the hell does that mean?
It means that you masturbate in a weird way, that you're and that you're so that you get that your partner can't replicate either with their with whatever they would use, their mouth, their hand, their anus, their vagina, that is not going to do the job. So sometimes, particularly people who go to boarding school, share a bedroom, something like that, they will often find ways to masturbate which conceal what they're doing. So that, you know, rubbing themselves against the bed or holding their penis very, very tightly, sort of squeezing it, trying to not let the ejaculate come out, trying to stop themselves from ejaculating. All of those kinds of things can lead to something like this. So sometimes people roll or squeeze or, you know, hold themselves in a way that they're, that, you know, that you would not replicate in partnered sex.
And that's when
that's what they're used to. And when you get used to that, then it's...
That's the only way you can come.
So for some people, yeah. Or it's more difficult if they're not doing it that way.
And you'd say that is the most common reason why.
It's supposed to be.
That is interesting. And yeah, you, like we said about the guilt and the preconceptions around sex and stuff, that sort of thing can have an effect as well.
Well, yeah, and it's massively on the increase at the moment. I mean, it used to be the least commonly mentioned form of difficulty, and you'd very rarely see it except my very first client. But
really,
yeah, but it
your very first client,
but wow, but that's it cool. was still pretty unusual. But now we're seeing so much more of it, so much more common, and I think there's so much more pressure on people, so much more stress. There's so many more hookups and, you know, casual sexual experiences where people feel under pressure. And, you know, maybe they've had a drink. There's a lot more drugs floating around as well. So many, so many drugs and alcohol affect your ability to climax. So there are all sorts of reasons why it just might not happen.
Well, under those big umbrellas that we mentioned before, psychological and medical, you know, obviously under the medical stuff, it's things like antidepressants, which, like you say, I'm sure... the use of those is on the rise. Treatments for high blood pressure, antipsychotics to treat episodes of psychosis, and obviously just the misuse of drugs in general, like you mentioned, alcohol, cocaine, lead to things commonly and colloquially known as like things like whiskey dick and pilly willy, but which are just obviously fun to say. But do you think that's a general thing then, that for whatever reason society at the moment, we do just pile more pressure on people to perform sexually?
Absolutely.
And that is having a big effect.
Yeah. Images that's, from everywhere, lots in magazines about, and on TikTok and here, there and everywhere about performing and being good at sex. And I think it just makes it more difficult when you can't do it. And you know, I never, ever used to see people who said, I'm frightened of not being able to climax. You'd see people who are frightened of not being able to get an erection or of losing their erection or not being able to sustain an erection or of coming too soon.
Both
of those. But now people are coming saying, I'm frightened of not being able to climax. Now, that's new. That is completely new. And I think there must be more people saying that's happened to them to make other people nervous, because it just never used to be a thing in the way that it is now.
That's so interesting. I mean, because I know people who, you know, when they lost their virginity, you know, maybe it was a bit later in life than some people and that sort of stuff. But and you'd imagine, most people will imagine, you know, a young straight guy, first time they have sex, you might imagine they were going to come quickly, but they never came at all. And then the next time, they never came at all. And then it became this thing. I wonder as well whether, like, what you're talking about, the performance anxiety, at least when I was a kid, I felt like, you know, this was maybe a 2000s thing, but you used to always hear like, oh, he can go all night. And so, you know, that sort of, so I wonder whether as well, the performance anxiety, you also have that thing of, well, I now think a lot of guys or people with penises have trained themselves to not come.
Yeah.
In order to, because they think, well, this is great. The longer I go, the better I am. But actually, what they don't realize is then their partner's on the other end of the table going, oh, well, they're not, they're like, yeah, oh, this is fun for a bit.
Yeah.
But get on with it. And now it's like, well, am I not pleasuring you enough?
Well, the thing is, there's this idea that sticking your penis in a vagina will make the woman climax. And one, it won't if she's not already aroused. Very unlikely. And two, not all women can, or very rarely can. I mean, it's more likely to happen during pregnancy, funnily enough, because there's a lot of blood supply to the area at that time. Mm-mm. Or if you've already climaxed a few times, you're more likely to climax with a penis because, you know, there's a lot of blood to the area. But some people never do it. Some people,
what was it? The statistic is like 19%.
I think it's lower than purely, that.
Well, yeah, but I either way, it's lower than that. It's lower than 19% of
it depends,
people with...
It depends who you read. The last I read was 16.
16% can come from penis in vagina alone.
Oh, can come regularly. I mean, some people might do it occasionally and go, oh, that was nice. You know,
that was great. Yeah.
How did they go? But, it's not reliable for more than, probably more than about 20%, if that. But you know what really interests me? I quite often will talk to blokes who say, oh, I'm so worried because I can't get an erection or I'm coming really quickly or whatever. And I'm always like, why does it matter so much? And they say, oh, my partner, you know, this is the only way she climaxes. And I said, well, supposing I told you it wasn't. And because quite often the partner's saying, no, I never do. You know, believe that. So when they've established that this isn't the way that she reliably comes, they will still say, so long as I can get an erection and last as long as I want to and keep going as long as I want to, job done. Even now.
Do you think that porn has a part to play in this as well? Because there will be videos, you know, that go on for 40 minutes and there's a guy with a huge cock and he's having sex with people, and these women are purely from penis and vagina sex, they are saying they're coming, and their orgasm is their orgasm in quoted, you know, in
they're screaming their heads off.
They're screaming their heads off, and all that sort of stuff. And this guy, like, is in all sorts of positions. He's going for ages, and at the end of this 40 minutes or even longer, there's this crazy big cum shot at the end, you know, and it goes everywhere. Yeah, exactly. Set to smooth jazz.
Yeah,
and drugs, both prescribed and recreational, are on the up. The we're getting it from TikTok and everywhere that we need to perform better. Then the porn use is on the up, and we're seeing all that. There's no wonder that people are taking longer.
It's some people's sex education. I mean, some people get believe that what they see in porn is real life, and it's not. It's a fantasy. Mm. If you can imagine, if you looked beyond the scene of the bodies, there are lights everywhere. There are cameras everywhere. There are people everywhere. There are clipboards. There are, you know, do you think that you'd really come right away if you had all those people watching you? And, and they kept going, cut.
Yeah.
Do that bit again.
Yeah. There are some fantastic documentaries about this.
Are there?
Which obviously are there? I've watched some. Actually, Tiger Drew Honey.
Oh, yeah.
Who, of course, is in Outnumbered. And, of course, was in our show. He was on our show. His great documentary. I think he did a little documentary series. But, of course, his parents, or at least definitely his dad, was in the porn industry. Mm. But he went, I'm pretty sure it was this documentary. He went to a porn set. Because he went to take a young... it was another young lad who was like, I really want to do porn. So he was like, okay, bro, let's bring you to a set and you'll see what it's like. This kid was scared shitless. He does not want to do porn. Mm. Because I think part of it was also like, the guy doing the porn scene was literally like, yeah, mate, not only do you have to get hard, stay hard, and not come, there are all the lights here everywhere, everyone's watching you, and you have to, you know, it's like they had to pause loads so he could like wank himself. I mean, honestly, the whole thing, you know, the problem is it's like chicken nuggets. You don't want to see how they're delicious, you don't want to see how they're made, but honestly, after you see how they're made, you can't
don't
not and
them.
And you start thinking, maybe I should be vegetarian. I mean, I'm not, but still. Just think, before the break, we should mention some of the other medical reasons, of course, as well. Diabetes apparently can affect this. Spinal cord injuries, multiple sclerosis, surgery to the bladder or prostate gland. We've talked about this before. Retrograde ejaculation.
That causes retrograde ejaculation. So you ejaculate into the bladder, and then the ejaculate comes out when you wee. But that that's not necessarily
delayed ejaculation.
That's retrograde ejaculation.
Yeah, so that would be slightly, that'd be different. And then it also increasing age. Does that sort of thing slow down?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it can take longer. The thing is, if you're having difficulties with arousal or with climaxing just in everyday life, and when you're masturbating, just in everyday life, as if sex isn't partnered sex isn't every day, but when you're masturbating, then it is worth getting it checked out by a doctor. If it's happening habitually and it's a problem, then it's worth just seeing if there is any neurological deficit there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that can be a side. Yeah. So I imagine, so you're saying there as well that the partnered sex thing is one thing, but if it's happening when you're masturbating as well, that's definitely something to check out.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a great piece of advice to go into the break with. We'll see you right after this.
People often ask me what my regular London pub is, but that assumes there's a pub I can easily return to, so please stop asking that.
London Pub Reviews, written by Paul Ewan and featuring Tim Key. A Hattrick podcast.
Did you save my seat? Why? I'm at a completely different pub now, with different seats. Catch up.
Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Drinking with dignity. Yes, sir. Yes, madam. That's me all over.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wonderful. Welcome back to the most requested episode we've ever done. Delayed ejaculation. What are the treatments?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. There isn't a magic bullet for this or a magic pill. So quite often it's about lifestyle changes sometimes. So if you are masturbating a lot, maybe cut back a bit, make sure you're less hurried, that you're not in a bad mood, that you're not overtired, that kind of thing. Just a few lifestyle changes can make a difference. Also, conversations about what sex means and the stressful elements, the things, the erroneous beliefs, the things people believe about sex. You know, I must keep pumping away. That when you take that away, sometimes people just relax. When you have a three-way conversation with the partner as well, sometimes, or even just with the individual, sometimes that is all that's necessary. If it's not. If that's still not helping, then you want to sort of reset the brain, really, and go right back to basics with full-on sex therapy. And there are sort of different stages of sex therapy that you can do, where you can impose a sex ban and just say you can do everything, or you can say just do everything apart from intercourse. People can try that if they don't want to go for a full-on sex therapy program. But otherwise, then you would start with non-sexual touch and build up.
Yeah, and I'm guessing as well that if you've identified it as the medicine having the effect, could you change that as well?
Oh, yeah, I mean, if you're taking recreational drugs, try not taking them. Don't drink as much.
Yeah, like you say, the lifestyle changes, that could be one.
But I mean, definitely talk to your GP, because there are lots of, particularly with antidepressants and antihypertensives, there are loads of choices. So just change it, try a different one, see if it makes a difference.
What if I haven't thought about this yet, and you've mentioned this idiosyncratic masturbation, you saying is one of the most common reasons for this. How do I notice that what I'm doing is wrong, and how do I stop that from having the effect?
Well, you notice that you're not getting the arousal from your partner, from sex with your partner. So generally speaking, that responds really, really well to different behaviours. So a sex therapy program works really well with that. But you can give somebody advice about different ways of masturbating and different kinds of touch. I mean, obviously, it's great if you're trying these things with a partner, but also if you do some of this on your own, so you can tell your partner what works for you, because you probably, if you say, right, squeeze the end of my penis really hard till it goes black, your partner's going to say, I don't want to do that. You know, if that's the kind of thing that you habitually like, they're probably not going to want to do that.
I mean, they might do,
but
we can't speak for everyone. But if someone said that to me, I might not do it.
People don't like doing hurty things quite often, unless they're in a kink situation where, you know, they've got safe words and, you know, all of that.
It's all been pre-agreed. Yeah, exactly.
It's all been pre-agreed. So, you know, you can give people exercises to say, try this instead. Cut out the porn and, you know, try focusing on what's going on in your body so that you're thinking about the sensations in your body. So you're coming out of your head, because if you're just looking at a screen, you're in your head a lot. And and sometimes people are using the fantasies they've seen before in their head, and they're not actually responding to what their bodies are doing and what's going on in the world, and, you know, how much they're enjoying touching their partner, and how much, you know, they're enjoying the sensations of the nice clean sheets and the joss sticks they've got burning, and, you know, their I don't know, and the glass of bubbly and all the things.
Your examples are always crackers. Oh, God. They're so good. I love it.
Well, I don't know. I'm just talking about all the things that might be happening around you that you're really enjoying, or that you've got, or that could be pleasurable, that could add to your pleasure.
I think this is, honestly, for me, I mean, we've given a lot of good advice so far. I think this is the most important and best, because if you're watching loads of porn and stuff, it's almost the overstimulation of all the visual stuff. He said, yeah, it's all in your head. You know, we did a great episode ages ago with Dr. Betty Martin. It was about consent. And I feel like sometimes people will see the title of that episode and think, consent, well, there'll be nothing for me in there, or that's scary, I don't want to click on it, or whatever. We actually spent a long time talking about...
Waking up your hands.
Mm. And so I think the idea is you get a pen or something, and you roll the pen around on your hand, and... you know, you're sort of like, okay, well, what's that? But if you do nothing else and just roll and really think about the way the pen feels in your hand, eventually you'll start to think, you know, about after a few seconds, you're like, well, actually, rolling it in this way feels good. And, you know, rolling it, and then maybe I'll try doing it this way or that way. Anyway, long story short, after a while, you're suddenly thinking, you're back in touch with your body. It's you and a pen, and weirdly, and just rubbing it on your hand. I was in the office when I did this, so it was a bit awkward, but I was sat there being like, this is really delightful, and it's this weird recentering yourself. And I think everything that we've talked about, I think, you know, about the performance anxiety, about some of the people porn use, all that sort of stuff, it's all this stuff in your head.
Well, you're
forgetting.
So well, so in my experience, when
about
sometimes
your body.
I've given people... So, you know what you were doing with the pen, you might say do that with your penis, for instance. So, you know, try different ways of touching it. So, and what they're thinking, what they come back and report to you is, well, they're thinking, am I doing this right? Oh, I'm doing this really well. Oh, I'm very good at this. Oh, look at, doesn't that look good? This is great. They're in their heads. They're not thinking, oh, this is great. They're not thinking what's happening in their bodies. They're not concentrating on the sensations. They're concentrating on their performance or something else. And if you talk to people who don't like talking about emotions, for instance, let's say, if you ask them a question about how they're feeling, they will intellectualize like mad and come up with why they think they feel that way, and why this is happening, and why that's happening, and why that... And they'll give you a big lecture, but will they name an emotion? No, they bloody won't, because they can't. And you say, what's happening? What are the sensations in your body at the moment? I don't know. And that's the trouble. They're in their heads. And it's exactly the same thing. You're in your head. You're not in your penis.
I love, what a great line. I love that. You're in your head, you're not in your penis. So hashtag get in your penis. But this is, we talk about this a lot on the podcast, and I think people need to talk about this a lot more as well, is taking ownership of your own pleasure. Mm-mm. And I think sometimes Absolutely. People recoil at hearing that, because they think what that means is be selfish. And in some ways, that is what it means.
But
it just means, it means recenter yourself and work out what you find pleasurable, not what you think you should be doing or what you think your partner thinks you should be doing. What is pleasurable to you? And that starts with getting a pen and rubbing it around your hand. I know it sounds crazy.
It doesn't have to be a pen, dear listener.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a pen. It was a pen for me, and honestly, I haven't gone back since. Me and the pen have been dating for 9 months. We've been having a great time. I've shagged a pen, is what I'm trying to say. Mm. Okay, well, let's move on from that, from probably the most amazing piece of advice you can take away from this episode, in my humble opinion, and it is humble. And let's move on to the internet's most searched questions around this.
Okay.
And we can answer these pretty quick fire. But is delayed ejaculation normal?
Well, it's common.
Yes, right. So we're taking the word normal there and we're opening that up. It's common. Is it normal and you should just live with it?
So everybody doesn't have it. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, what is normal? It depends. It's a huge spectrum. But I mean, if you take the averages, going at it for more than 10 minutes continuously isn't an average.
Yeah. So is it common? Yes. Should you be afraid? No. But if it's an issue, should you do something about it?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you want to. But
yeah,
I mean, you
exactly.
know, just,
yeah, that's what I say. If it's an issue. If it's an issue for you. Yeah.
Pausing intercourse for a bit. You know, might help. But, you know, as I say, conversations that take the emphasis off orgasm and ejaculation but might just help. You can have a lot of fun, as you have said, you can have a lot of fun without going at it continuously until you come.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not necessary.
Exactly. Sex isn't just putting your penis in something and going for as long as you can.
Mm.
Wonderful. Yeah, so lots of things to do around that. Will delayed ejaculation go away / can it be cured?
Well, yeah. I mean, loads of people recover. I mean, people usually recover from it. It makes it sound like a deadly disease. But no, it can improve. Yeah, definitely.
Wonderful. Can ejaculation delay periods?
Not that I've ever heard.
What do they, I mean, the
internet
is fascinating.
Are they thinking that hormones will stop you? I mean, this is somebody who's hoping they're not pregnant, isn't it?
Well, not just somebody, some
lots of somebodies.
Many.
Yeah,
exactly. So can ejaculation delay periods?
Probably not.
I wouldn't count on it, dear listener. Yeah. Can delayed ejaculation cause pregnancy?
Yes.
What?
Yes. Because you can, I mean, pre-cum can still seep out.
You
can get some semen seeping out beforehand. And so obviously it only takes one sperm.
If you're not wearing a condom. Then it could. Okay, interesting. Because I was thinking, but they haven't ejaculated. How could one get pregnant? But you're absolutely right. Pre-cum can and does contain
sperm.
So good point. Delayed ejaculation in women, ?
Women, well, I mean, as far as we know, women do not ejaculate. I mean, squirting is squirting. It's not the same thing. And not everybody does it. So it's really not the same thing.
Mm.
And ejaculation is when the sperm comes out. So women don't have sperm. So no.
Yeah, can't do it. And delayed ejaculation, good or bad?
Well, I mean, lots of couples think it's good because, you know, there is this belief that if you can go on, it shows this amazing control, which is all nonsense anyway, because a lot of that stuff's genetic, as we've said in, you know, the episode about early ejaculation. You know, some may not be anything you can do about it. But it's not good to keep going on and on because you'll get bruised.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a little bit, have a break, a little bit more, have a break. You know, don't just wham away for hours on end.
Yeah, exactly. Wonderful. Well, I think don't just wham away from hours on end is a good place to stop. Do get in touch with us. We are at the RSC Pod on Instagram, TikTok and X.
Oh, formerly known as Twitter.
And she misses it every episode. It's just, it's getting crazy at this point. I even pointed at you that time to give you
looking.
Oh my God, pay attention. That's what I don't get about this. You've got to pay attention. Please do get in contact with us. Let us know. If, let's hope so. Let us know if any of this resonated with you, whether any of these things helped. Like I say, I think, you know, something for all of us in there is to recenter our bodies, reconnect with our bodies and what is pleasurable to us, whether we have delayed ejaculation or not, whether a man, whether a woman, whether they have a penis, whether they have a vulva, whatever is going on. I think that's really great advice. So do let us know. Also, send us in your questions and episode ideas, like other things you want to hear about. You can send it in anonymously as well. I know a lot of you will want to stay anonymous, so that's in a Google form that you can find in the bio of this episode and our social media channels. Until next time, we'll be back for more Real Sex Education with your questions, I think on Monday, so make sure you're subscribed, following wherever you're listening or watching this now, and we'll see you then.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code Program.